The start with the person who led you to Christ. For those of you who have faith in Jesus Christ, you would consider yourself a believer, a Christian. Think about the person right now. Just think of their face. Think about your relationship with that person. Who was that person who led you to Christ? God wants you to understand that that was an integral piece to your life towards beginning and understanding what family is all about. Think about the church that began on the early journey of to help facilitate your spiritual growth and to kind of help you grow and understand what is the Bible, what does it mean how to pray, how do I read the Bible, how do I grow in my faith, how do I begin to serve and identify talents that I have and use them for God's glory. What that local church that was early on the early end of your spiritual life is your family. Think about today, the local church, hopefully it's Severna Park Baptist Church, that holds you accountable for identifying with Christ and having your life reflect the scriptures, and they're overseeing and helping you to encourage and help you to be accountable towards God. Think about the spiritual children that you are producing in the Lord, that you're called and commanded by Jesus to go and make disciples, and that you're bringing other brothers and sisters into the kingdom of God. You see, family is very foundational for the entire spiritual and Christian journey. In fact, it's one of the pieces for success and satisfaction. Secondly, kind of one of the observations that you can have about these two verses of not just family being foundational is this, is that both fathers and mothers are fundamental to a child's success. Both fathers and mothers are fundamental to a child's success. You see, it's the father's instruction, but also to not forsake the mother's teaching. The word for father's instruction, this idea of instruction, it's the idea of discipline or reproof. And so that's with the father. The mother, it's the mother's teaching. The word is Torah. It's the idea of law or teachings. And so both of them are fundamental. Notice it's not just saying fathers discipline and teach and mothers change the diapers. It's not saying that, right? Both are equal importance in raising a child and raising the next generation and integral to the success of those children. A father's instruction and not to forsake your mother's teaching. Raising children is not natural. It's something hard to do. There are some tendencies for children to grow in that are natural. Whether that's a child to eat, you don't have to teach a child to eat typically, right? You don't have to teach a toddler how to fall. I mean, if a toddler's trying to work, trying to walk, and trying to get up, they're going to eventually fall, sometimes several times, right? If something gets into your eye, you don't have to teach your eye how to cry and how to be able to get that out of the person's eye just through the natural tear ducts. There are some things that are just natural. But raising a child, truly raising a child from what is right and what is wrong, that is unnatural. It takes a lot of work. It takes both parents great patience and perseverance and even much prayer as well. And so parenting in the home, it's a primary responsibility where instruction is to take place. It's not the school's job to raise children. It's not the government's job. It's not even the church's job. It's primarily the parent's responsibility. Now, those other things, the school, perhaps even the government and the church can come alongside, but primarily it's the responsibility of the parents. And so parents, the home is kind of this school of equipping. Parents are kind of like a police escort to guide children on the journey towards their intended destination. Think about this morning, I was thinking about this when brewing coffee, right? The coffee filters protect impurities in the ground, protect all the grounds from being poured into your coffee so that you can have a nice cup of coffee in the morning. Well, parents are like coffee filters to protect children from impurities getting into their life. In a sense, parents are like boot camp, preparing and training children to fight the fight of faith. I can think of at least three categories of how to equip and what our role as parents is to equip into our children and to train into our children. One is convictions. Convictions. Convictions about God. Convictions about Scripture. Convictions about humanity, about sin, about salvation, even social convictions. So we need to put into our hearts a perspective, a paradigm, a way of a worldview of thinking and believing into our heart and into our mind. Secondly, not just convictions, but equipping and character training. You could start, I believe, with the Ten Commandments. You could talk about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. But these are behavioral applications based on those convictions, based on those beliefs. There's convictions, character, and thirdly, I think that we would want to equip our children with capabilities, certainly with spiritual disciplines, but also other life skills, other positive habits, other work ethics. And so think about the hundreds and literally hundreds of things that we would want our children to grow in their capabilities. What would it look like if Satan were to really take control of our society? Of our nation? Think about that question. Think about that question in light of your family. And think about that question in light of other families in your neighborhood. And then across our nation. What would it look like if Satan were to really take control of our nation? Well, I think the answer to that would not be what you would expect. I think the answer to that question would be that all of the bars and liquor stores would be banished. I think that if Satan were to really take control of our nation, that the drug pushing would be discontinued in our nation. I think if Satan really took control of our nation, that pornography and prostitution would be prohibited. I believe that if Satan really took control of our nation, that all sexual immorality would be stopped, that crime would cease, that swearing and smoking would be suspended from daily life, that in fact, our nation's streets would be full of sweet and moral and good and kind children, that our churches would be full of people from each of their communities. But in each of those churches, Jesus would not be preached. That there would be a crossless, a gospelless church. In Christianity, that's what it would look like if Satan were to really take control of our nation. And unfortunately, I think you can look around and say, guess who's in charge of our nation? And too often, our communities are all about just being good moral people, but without Jesus. You can kind of check off the box and say, okay, got God on Sunday, but then go away, and as long as God stays in the box, as long as God stays in the church and doesn't impact daily life and family and children and future and everything else, then everything's okay. That's what it would look like for Satan to be in control of our nation. We need fathers and mothers who will come alongside of a next generation, of even this generation, and say, no, God wants them more. God wants them more than Satan. God wants them more than the world. And so we're going to raise a generation for Christ. That's what it would look like. And so parents, you are integral, both father and mother. Father and mother. Mom, sometimes you can look at your family and say, can I ever find enough time to help towards that? Am I really fulfilling my purpose as a mother? And dads ask that question too. One mother kind of identified herself in her description and kind of listed all the things that she does in the world and does in her family life, and she kind of was kind of venting in some sort, and it was a letter to Ann Landers, and it was recorded by Focus on the Family, and I'll share it with you. She said this. She said, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a friend, I'm a confidant, I'm a personal advisor, I'm a lover, I'm a referee, I'm a peacemaker, I'm a housekeeper, I'm a laundress, I'm a chauffeur, I'm an interior decorator, I'm a gardener, I'm a painter, I'm a wallpaperer, I'm a dog groomer, a veterinarian, a manicurist, I'm a barber, I'm a seamstress, I'm an appointment manager, I'm a financial planner, I'm a bookkeeper, I'm a money manager, I'm a personal secretary, a teacher, a disciplinarian, I'm an entertainer, I'm a psychoanalyst. I'm a nurse, I'm a diagnostician, I'm a public relations expert, I'm a nutritionist. I'm a baker, a chef, a fashion coordinator. And I'm also a letter writer for both sides of the family. I'm a travel agent. I'm also a speech therapist, a plumber, an automobile maintenance and repair expert. And from the studies done, it would cost more than $75,000 a year to replace me. I took time out of my busy day to write this letter, and because there are still ignorant people who believe that a housewife is nothing more than a babysitter who sits on her behind all day and looks at soap operas. And that's her letter to Ann Landers. You see, the idea I want to encourage you moms today is that when we challenge mothers and even fathers to be about kingdom business and to raise your expectations on your children and to elevate your calling and your purpose for your family, we're not trying to stress you out. We're not trying to add a burden to your shoulders. And oftentimes moms can feel overwhelmed and stressed that they're not measuring up, that they're not mom enough. In fact, there was one response towards this letter and towards this idea of being mom enough that I want to read also to you, and it's by a lady named Rachel Jones. And it's written in a book, and the title is, Are You Mom Enough? And she says this, From this issue of time, from television, from Facebook, from blogs, from Pinterest, the message screamed at moms is this, unless you are fit to run marathons, to breastfeed into the preschool years, and own a spotless and creatively decorated home, and tend a flourishing garden, and prepare 3 home-cooked meals per day, and work a high-powered job, and give your husband expert sensual massages before bed, you are not mom enough. She says, from my perspective, however, the mommy war is over. It's done. It's finished. It's kaput. And I lost. She said, I am not mom enough. She said, never was, never will be. But I am on the front lines of another war. The battles are raging and the casualties could be my children, my husband, or myself. This war isn't about me being mom enough. This war is about God being God enough. This morning, I want to remind you that you are not dad, you are not mom on your own strength. That you are to rely on God's strength, on His resources, and that God is fully sufficient to overcome any parenting failures that you might have had in the past or ones that you're going to make into the future. God is God enough. And there's a call upon your life, but you walk with Him, you trust Him, and you realize the integral value that both fathers and mothers can make into their family for the success and satisfaction also of their children. A third observation I want to make is this, is that following parental guidance is expected for children. Following parental guidance is expected for these children. You see the foundation of fathers and mothers and families and children here. You see the perspective the element of fathers and mothers investing into their children. But you see all of this, also this expectations that children are to follow and listen to their parents. Hear my son. There's this call to hear. There's this call to hear the father's instruction. There's this call to forsake not, this idea to leave, to rebel, to cast off the teaching of mom. And there's a benefit if you do this. There's a benefit. The benefit is twofold. One, it's a graceful garland for your head. This graceful garland, it's like this crown. It's like this victor's crown for one's head. It's the idea that you have won, you have succeeded. In other words, children, listen up. Children, if you honor mom and dad, you win in the game of life. If you honor and put God first and listen to your parents, that is a victory for you and for your life. But secondly, this idea of a pendant for your neck. I read in one commentator, it said that these pendants were for identification in the civil community. And so in other words, if you had a job, a really important job, you had this neck pendant that kind of ID'd who you were and what you did in society. And so you could say, look, I have the credentials for who I am, and just look at my pendant, right? And that's the call, that's the benefit, is that you will have the credentials. You will have the tools of success and satisfaction at your very fingertips, around your neck, children, if you listen to mom and dad. Moms and dads are like, yeah, listen. Children, remember, young and old, remember that your parents are not randomly placed in your life. God gave them to you. And I say that to young children today who are in the sound of my voice, but I also say it that to those who are raising their children, that your mom, still, who's in your life, God has a role for her into your life. I say that to myself. That can be very challenging and convicting sometimes. But God has a role for all parents in our lives. You can see this communicated all throughout Scripture, from the outcome of Cain and Abel not listening to their parents, and Cain killing his brother Abel, an early result of the fall. You see it in the Ten Commandments of Exodus 20, honor your father and mother. That word honor is mean to give weight, to give significance, to give honor to your parents. And again, that's not qualified by a certain age limit, like once I reached 18 or 21, right? It just says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is given to you. And that's the reward, a hope of life, a hope of future, and a quality and quantity of life. You can see all throughout the Old Testament Scriptures several examples of positive and negative relationships between parents and their children, all the way from Abraham and Sarah to Isaac and Rebekah to Jacob and Rachel. The next 2 weeks, we're going to look at two examples for mothers. And so we're kind of beginning a series today called His and Hers. His and Hers, okay? And the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at two women. One, we're going to look at Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and look at the sacrifices that she made and kind of how that plays out for moms and women today. We're also going to look at Hannah, the mother of Samuel, and the role of prayer in their family. And then we'll do a stop in between and look at some things about our nation on Memorial Day. And then we'll do 2 weeks of dads. And we're going to look at the Luke 15, the father of the prodigal, and things that we can learn from that. And then we'll also look at the man Job. And Job and the prayer life for dads. So we'll look at the prayer life for both moms and dads over the next few weeks. But the idea that here is children, you're expected to follow parental guidance. There's a great call upon you. Too often children, you kind of want to live for the future. You can't wait till you become a teenager. I was talking with a couple boys this morning. They were like, yeah, a couple more years, I'm a teenager, right? Like, I'm 10 and a half, I'm 9 and a half, right? They're anxious to get to be teenagers, right? I got you, boys, I got you. Or once they get to be a teenager, they can't wait to get the driver's license. Once they get their driver's license, they can't wait to graduate. Once they graduate, you can't get to marry. Once you marry, you can't wait to get children. And once you get children, you can't wait till they leave the house. You always want to live for the future, right? And so there's a great call to say, hey, live in the now. Live in this moment. Live in this moment that God has called you and placed you in. And the call right now for children is to follow that parental guidance that God has placed into your life. And there's numerous benefits. This isn't played out just from the Scriptures, although I've listed several Scriptures, but if you were to do research and look, and you could see that there are numerous social benefits and of better health physically, emotionally, morally, involved in less crime, there's greater success academically, over and over and over, the research bears out of those families who have a mom and dad invested into their child's lives, and the benefits that reaps for those children. Recently, we saw a Baltimore mom named Toya Graham who entered the national spotlight after confronting her 16-year-old son, Michael, when he didn't go straight home the day of the protest that erupted in Baltimore in violence over the death of Freddie Gray. Toya Graham was the mom who was caught on video of approaching and confronting her son, and there was some discipline that was going on. And later, we heard in another video the kind of her motivation, and her motivation was twofold: one, to protect her son from bad behavior, and then two, to protect her son from the dangerous consequences of a future, perhaps violent, life. See, ultimately, us parents, we are not perfect. Sometimes moms will misspeak. Sometimes dads will react wrongly. But often is the case, their motivation is love. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Proverbs 23:25, "Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." 3 John 1:4, and I love this verse, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." See, that's the call for families. This morning, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a few questions. I want to ask you, is there a broken relationship with your parents that needs reconciled? And I don't care if you're a teenager or if you're older and your children have already left the house. Is there a broken relationship with your parents that might need mending? See, God has a great call and a great value and respect for families. It started all the way back at creation and has been ongoing to sustain this world. God has a great value for families. And he cares how children treat moms and dads. And so maybe this is a wonderful day to pick up that phone. Maybe this is a wonderful day to go and make that visit and to restore a brokenness that might need mended. This morning, I want to ask you is maybe there's a taking of mom for granted within that family context. Again, today is an opportunity to remind mom of your appreciation. Today's a great day to maybe help mom relax and just get a little bit of a break today, whether that's going out for dinner or for lunch this afternoon, or maybe that's kind of pitching in and helping with the dishes and the chores. But whatever that looks like is to remind your appreciation for mom today. But ultimately, today is a day for you to connect to the family that God ultimately desires for your life. And that's in relationship to him as our Heavenly Father. You see, if you are not in relationship to him, if you cannot call God as your Father because of your faith in Jesus Christ, because of your repentance of your sin, then you are out of the family. You have no family. You might think you have a family, but you are out of the family. God, that breaks God's heart. And God has a tremendous love for you. Your sin is not too great that he doesn't still pursue you, that God isn't still actively putting circumstances in your life to catch your attention, that God still isn't actively pursuing you through people and through the sound of people's voices, that God isn't waking you up to his word. You see, God is in the business of pursuing people. He desires for you to be connected to the family. He desires for you to call out to him, Daddy, Father. He's not into the playing the religious game and saying, "Oh, sovereign God, most high." Now, he most certainly is. But ultimately, he wants you to call him Father. He wants you to enter into that love relationship. He offers reconciliation. He offers renewal and fresh starts and new beginnings in your life today. And it starts by you repenting and saying, "God, I give up. I give up of me. I give up of me. And God, I want you in my life. Help me to do that." That's the day one of the journey. And that's what God desires for you today. Would you pray with me? Our worship team is going to come, and we're going to sing a song. And it's a song for believers to celebrate God and remind us of his grace in our lives and that we are part of his family. But it's also an opportunity for you to respond today. To you to respond and say, "Today I want to become part of this family. Today I want to become part of the family of God. And I want God as my Heavenly Father. And you just do that by saying, God, I give up of me. I repent of my sin, and I turn towards you. And you begin that walk, that journey of growing in a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God as your Heavenly Father. We as a church family would like to come and be a part of that with you and help you on that journey. We would, as a church family, and I as your pastor, would love to kind of counsel and encourage you into your next steps on how to do that. And so the best way that that might be possible is maybe twofold. One, is it during this time that we're singing the song, is it maybe you take a bold step and get out of your seat, walk down this aisle, maybe walk down the side of these pews, and come up to me and say, Pastor, I need prayer. And Pastor, here's the couple things that are going on. Here's the decision and commitment that I want to make to God, and I want you to pray for me and help me take this journey. Or maybe if for some reason that's too bold of a step, I want to encourage you to grab me at the end of the service, to maybe just kind of say, hey, can we talk for a few minutes after the service today? And I would love the opportunity to encourage you in that new journey with the Lord. Father God, take each individual this morning right where they are in the now moment of their life and the circumstances of their life, God, and speak to them. Help them apply today's message. Help them to apply your scriptures and your word that calls them, God, to trust you, to walk with you, and to honor, God, those authorities, God, that you've placed in their life. God, ultimately, God, we are so thankful for your love, your grace, that you've shown us, Lord, through Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.